Blog Talk Radio.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You cannot imagine.
Things begin to happen. God's hand was always upon me. I had visions.
just visions as a child, and had entertainment. The Holy Spirit would entertain me as a child, and I was too afraid to speak about it because people would criticize me. They thought that, you know, they would just look down upon me or think that I was even crazy. So a lot of times when you have these supernatural encounters as a kid, you don't want to tell anyone because you don't want people to frown upon you or try to disgrace you. But I want to talk about this afternoon, actually, about the fall of man. And I'm coming from the book of Genesis, Genesis 3. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, and Eve took the fruit, and she ate of the fruit. Amen? So if you go to Genesis, if you have your Bibles, go to Genesis 3, verse 7. It says, and the eyes of them, of both of them, were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covered. And then they heard the voice of the Lord, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. And the Lord had called Adam, and then he had said, where are you? And he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And then he said, who told you you were naked? You have eaten of the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat. Then the man said, the woman that you gave me gave it to me. I don't want to go into Eve too much about what Adam, because here, as we go to the next verse, 13, then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. And so the Lord said to the serpent, I'm going to stop right there because from that verse down, the Lord began to curse the serpent, and then he began to really curse mankind. Okay? I want you to focus in on who told you that you were naked? Because the spirit of deception is very strong. Amen? We all have been deceived in some way or another. The serpent was in the garden with Eve. The serpent is also in the book of Revelation, but now it's a dragon. So, I would say to you, who told you that you would never be anything? Who told you that you would never be a homeowner? Who told you that you were stupid? Who told you that you were dumb? Who told you that you're just like your daddy or you're just like your mama? Who told you these things and you believed it? Because God said that you're the head and you're not the tail. He said, who told you these things? He said, because I did not say it. So whatever is not true, then it is a lie. So how many lies are you really believing? The world today does not look at truth, and they don't honor truth. Amen? So when you begin to speak truth, deliverance comes forth if it's received. If you continue to believe in a lie, then you continue to stay in bondage. It's very hard to get out of bondage once you're into it, okay? Because you really have to fight at that point to get yourself out and get set free unless you're totally immersing yourself within the Holy Spirit, okay? And so who told you that you'll never have a radio station? Who told you that you could never speak? Who told you that you would never be in center stage? Who told you these things and you believe it? How many lies are we really believing right now? And God is saying to us, seek me first, the kingdom of God, and all these things should be added unto you. Seek the truth for me. He is the truth. He is the life. Amen? He is all of that. He said, whatever your heart desires, he said, I will give it to you. We can seek things. We can seek him or we can keep seeking carnal things, right now for this life. And those things will never last because it tells us that. Amen? And so we have to really take notice on things that we're seeking, watch what's coming out of our mouths, especially if you're a leader out there. I don't know how many leaders are on the line, but if you're a leader, you have to really be careful what you're speaking over your children or over your congregation or just in general to people, because death and life is in the power of the tongue. Are you speaking positive things? Or are you speaking negative things over people that you know? Are you the one telling your child or a family member that you're stupid and you'll never be nothing? That's not of the Lord. That's not of the Lord. Because he said that I called you to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. He said, I called you to be the salt of the earth. He said, I called you to a royal priesthood, your chosen generation. He said, I called you to this. So if I called you to this, then why are you believing someone is telling you that you're stupid and that you're dumb, that you're just like your daddy, you're just like your mama, you'll never add up to be anything, you'll never be a homeowner, you'll never get a decent job, you'll never have anything. Nobody else in the family has gotten anything. What makes you think that you're going to have something? See, those are negative words that are flowing out, and that's not of the Lord. And then we begin to take these things upon us like baggage, like luggage. And then it imprints, it goes into our memory bank, and then we foul it. And then we take so much garbage in that when we try to break free, then we can't because we don't know how to get untangled from these things. Who told you that you'll never be able to swim? Who told you you'll never be able to coach? Who told you that you were not a leader and you believed it? Who told you that you couldn't do spiritual warfare? Who told you these things? Amen? Did I get some feedback to know that y'all here?
Amen.
Amen. Who told you this? Who told you when you got molested to be quiet? Who told you this? Who told you that you could never be set free from those things? Who told you that? And you believed it because you didn't want to hurt the family member that was involved. Or you didn't want to cause discord. You were thinking it would cause discord within the family. Who told you these things? Because you have to realize something. Hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And even the person, if the person hurts you, then you have to still have a spirit of forgiveness in them because they know not what they do. Because if they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't do it. And so we go around carrying all this baggage and all this hurt and unforgiveness, and it causes diseases in our body. The Word of God says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So that means your body is not your own. It's not your own. You don't own it. He's given you responsibility for it, but it belongs to him. So how deep is your commitment? What is your covenant really with the Lord? Because in the book of Genesis, it tells us after God begins to curse the serpent for what he did, then the woman was also, you know, we go through child labor, we go through all these pains and things, but if we just keep the commandments that he's given us, we will be in a safe zone. It keeps us free. Condemnation is not of the Lord. It's of the devil. Guilt is not of the Lord. It's of the enemy. Amen?
Amen.
When you begin to feel condemnation, when you begin to feel guilt, you need to check yourself and say, I cast down that vain imagination. It has to leave because that is not of the Lord. When your spouse is going through divorce, I'm kind of going all over because I do flow with all fivefold in the ministry, and sometimes the mantle will shift on me as I begin to speak. When you go through a divorce, when you go through a separation, that's like a tearing If you take a piece of paper and tear it in front of you, you can feel the ripple effect. If you have a piece of paper in front of you right now, just tear it. And you hear the rippling effect of that paper tearing. That's what a divorce does. Because it's stripping each other. Both parties are stripping each other from being one. And that's not of the Lord. Okay? Now, divorce is granted if one spouse wants out. God tells you to let them go. You know, don't try to hold on to them. But if it could be worked out, work it out. Work it out. We're coming into the body of Christ, and we're trying to separate ourselves, and the world is looking at us. How can we witness to the world, and we acting just like them? Amen? So I'm trying to, let me go back to the book of Genesis. Work it out. We have to learn how to work our own things. Work out your own salvation, okay? Work it out. So in the book of Genesis, it talks about the serpent deceived her. Now look at this. The serpent is a serpent in the book of Genesis. When you get to the book of Revelation, it's now a dragon. Who's been feeding you? What type of strongholds in your life is feeding this serpent for it to become a dragon? Amen? Is it your nasty attitude? Is it your unforgiveness? Is it bitterness? Is it, you know, what is it? What is it? The Satan's thing, the stronghold that you can't get rid of. Amen? So we have to take a look at that. We have to take a look at ourselves. It's time for all of us to do a self-examination on us. How can you correct someone else when you got your own mountain in your eye?
Amen.
How do you chastise your children? In a loving, kind way? Or do you beat them like you don't know them? Or do you cuss at them like you don't know them? Every child is different. Eve ate the fruit. She gave it to her husband. Adam was rebuked for that by God, because he was the head of the household. Okay, but guess what happened to Eve? She took full responsibility for that. It tells us right there in verse 13. God said to her, "Woman, what have you done?" And she said, "The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me.'" So when I read that, and you know, ask the Lord to minister to your heart, when you read that, it tells you right there that she took full responsibility that she had ate it. She took full responsibility. She said, "He deceived me." And when that happens, when I was reading it for the day, I said, you know what? She got delivered right there just because she took total responsibility. Because anytime God shows up on the scene, you get delivered. Something happens. Some type of manifestation happens. Some type of demonstration happens when the Holy Spirit shows up. Amen?
Amen.
Amen? And so I just wanted to kind of just share that with you all. You know, I do have notes, but maybe next week I could come down and we could go more into a teaching, a Bible study, not a Bible study, but more of a teaching on the different scriptures so you can follow the scriptures next week with me. I just want to just say, just be cautious of what's coming out of your mouth. Be cautious of your actions. Be cautious of who you come into a covenant relationship with. Be cautious on the covenant relationship, because it's a tearing, it's a rippling. And this is why we have so many hurtful children out there. This is why we have so many suicides out there, because, you know, things are not right within the household. Not pleased. We have to take care of our own household before we can take care of the ministry, the Church of God. It's His people.
Amen. I agree a lot.
Hello?
Are you still there? Does anyone have any comments or questions on the thing she is speaking on?
Well, when Eve answered the question that God gave her, she stated a fact. But I go back to it, and it's just a question that always has been in my mind from studying the book of Genesis. Adam was given the duties to be the keeper of the garden. And he should have known the fruit that she was holding in her hand, because God told him he could eat of every fruit of the garden, tree of the garden, except the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So he should have known that fruit. But let's put it this way, hypothetically. Could it been that Adam failed that test, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Why didn't he eat of the tree of life? But Satan is a deterrer. He deterred the flesh, because when Eve came from Adam, formed from his rib while he was asleep, and God sealed the womb. And when Adam saw her, he said, "Woman." Then he said, "Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Satan went to the flesh. Because Jesus, once he come out of prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane and told Peter the third time he came back, "Couldn't you just watch for an hour?" And he said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And our flesh are still weak. We can confess Christ. We can, I call it a word, ecumenism. We will pray to God, we will thank God, we will bless his name. But then we will turn to the left and say, "Don't tell me how to live. Don't lead me. Let me lead my own life." And it goes back to the garden. Adam transgressed rebellion, which the Greek call it sin, and he sinned against his creator. And when he discovered that he was naked by eating the fruit, the coat of glory was stripped off of him. Now he have knowledge of naked, because today we wear clothes because we're ashamed to walk around naked. But then sometimes we can be naked in the truth of God. Do we trust the Spirit of God? Do we duly, truly trust the Word of God? And do we sometimes pray and ask God to show us, for him to show us to us as he see us? And when he does that, stick close to him and then develop daily prayer life. Be a living example. And the speaker said something about taking care of the home. Practice abroad, practice at home spreads abroad. You confess Christ, or you confess to be a calling or have anointing of a pastor or elder or ministry or whatever the title that you are hiding behind, you have to be a living example of what you have confessed before people. And you can't do behind closed doors what you won't do in public. And I won't take up all your time.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Because just one more thing I'd like to add. In Psalms 37:1, you know, I read the scripture. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and without as the grass herb." And the main verse here, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And you got to commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust, again, the word trust. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. But when we get to a point of elevation in life, as far as nice cars, nice home, we thank God for those. But as we go through our daily walk, we forget about God. We forget to thank him on a daily basis for these things. But we have to thank him in small things, in medium thing, and in large thing. Then we get so materialistic, we forget about God.
Amen. And normally when that happens, then a stripping normally takes place when you're confessing to be a Christian and you're not hearing, and nor are you hearing what you're not even doing. So you're absolutely right, sir. You're absolutely right. But the tree of life is of good and evil. again, you know, she confessed. She held ownership to say, you know, the serpent deceived me, and I did ape. That's, she held the responsibility that she was wrong. On the other hand, Adam did not, blaming the woman. But that's okay, because God was still in the midst of them. He's still in the midst of us when we sin, but we are to repent. God is no respectable person. What he'll do for me, he'll do for you. He just wants us to acknowledge the wrong and move on. Don't dwell in it. That's how your guilt comes in. Your condemnation falls upon you. And it will begin to beat you up, and it'll eat you alive like a cancer if you continue to dwell on it. And so I just want to encourage you all to keep the good faith, fight the faith. You know, and some battles are more harder than others. You know, sometimes you have to fight even harder. But I promise you, if you continue to fight, you will be all right. You'll be okay. Because God is the God that you shall not lie. He shall not lie. When, if his word is spoken, then it will perform. It will go out to perform what he said it would do. Amen?
And,
so I just thank you guys. And he did give, you know, the gentleman who gave the word, you know, with sound counsel, and it's appreciated. We need to preach the word. We need to teach it. We need to be examples. We need to be living examples. You know, we need to be a witness. Even if, you know, some people don't never want to go to church, but if they know you, you're the only Bible they're ever going to look at.
And,
well, on that statement there, and all due respect, but I always look at it. I've heard that phrase over and over, let's go to church, I'm going to church.
Mm-hmm.
God has built that church in your heart. Romans 10:9, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised him dead, now I'm saved into eternal life. So, and Jesus said when he cast the three different synoptic gospels and John, when he cast the people out of the temple, he said, my house is a house of prayer. But how much prayer do we see these days? The household of God is a community of believers that are constantly in prayer, praise, and worship. And wherever you go, you should be bringing that, as you say, the church with you. But we always look at entering that building. And like classes, this is the statements that I always make. When you come through that door, I pray that you're prayed up. You've left your worldly things behind, because there are only three things that count this morning in this class: the cross, Christ, and the Word of God. Now, anything else to me is null and void. But we like to teach classes, we like to preach sermons and give seminars on iology, myology, meology. But Paul said, preach the cross to them that perish foolishly. But it's to them that say it's the power of God. But the thing about it, there are a lot of people profess to be saved, but they still act foolish in the household of God. And we're going to have to come into a point where we're going to have to totally indwell ourselves in total worship to our Creator, God the Father. And if you look at the divinity, people have a problem with that. Going to Matthew, he said, told them to go and baptize in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And there's three D's there, so there's a separation of God here, but still completely one.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have to learn. So if you want to know about true worship, go to the book of Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. You see these people raise their hands to heaven and lower their heads to the ground while Israel, the scribe, read the scroll to them. We want to have we want to have iPads. We want to have internet. I've seen one time I was at a minute later, had a laptop on her lap. Bring the Word of God in the Bible. Let some pages be flipping. Learn the 66 books of the Bible. Learn what the testament of Jesus' life on earth with the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the Gospel of John. And then study the epistles of Paul, of Peter, and John, and James. And if you study the epistle of James, and you go back to Proverbs, you'll see that James is what they call a Proverbs of the New Testament.
Yep. Amen,
so get in touch with your
Deacon,
Bible. Study your Bible. Stay in prayer.
And we have
Amen.
Some other people that have some comments, and I want to get them in before the show end. Does anyone else have any more comments and questions? Sister Beverly.
Well, I just want to praise God for the message that came forth today by Pastor Pam. Of course, it was a very timely message. And I just praise the Lord that we serve, because in his word, from the book of Genesis all the way through his word, he's busy explaining things to us, telling us things that we need to know. He's always a God of light, always revealing things to his people. He'll tell us all throughout his word, if you do this, then thus and so. If you don't do this, thus and so. So he's always giving these warnings to us, or just things that's going to be beneficial for us in our lives. And so I just praise God. I praise God for his word. I praise God for this message that was delivered here today. And God bless you, Pastor Pam, for bringing forth a very timely message here today.
Amen.
Amen. I agree with you, Pastor Marshall. The word was a powerful word. If you are a believer in your household and you have family members that don't know or want to know or are lost in any area of their life, you've got to be the light to them. And if you can't get to them in a way that, you know, speaking to them, you can pray for them wherever you are. I do have family members that want to know the Lord, but there are things that's taking them away, that's leading them into the world. And they're beautiful people, and I know that if they seek God, their families will be better, their children will be better. And so I think it's important, you know, to seek your household. Fix your household before you go and try to fix it on the outside. And if you already know, it's just the best thing to do for your family.
Amen. So we just want to thank God for rooting us, for teaching us how to be rooted in his word and how to abide in him. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes, indeed. And if you have, are there any more questions or comments, then Sister Beverly, can you go ahead and close in prayer?
Okay, I sure will. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, it's once and again that we do come to your almighty throne. And we just say thank you, Father God, for this blessed time on this radio blog here today. We thank you for the woman of God that you send here today to deliver a word, Father God, a mighty, powerful word, Father God. And we just praise and we just thank you, Father God, for how much you love us. You love us so much that not only did you just create us, oh, Father God, but you also, Father God, sent forth your word, Father God. You sent forth many people, Father God, on your behalf, Father God, to start telling people, Father God, the way that we should live, oh, Father God. And you've given us everything that we need in your word to live by. Father, we just pray as we close here today, Father God, that someone may be blessed, Father God, by what they have heard. They might be powerfully challenged by what they have heard, Father God, and begin to know, Father God, that it's your word, Father God, that they need to get into, and it's you, Father God, they need to be listening and seeking to hear from. So now as we begin to part from one another, Father God, we just ask you, Father God, for your blessings upon each and every person here today and all people that will ever hear this recording, Father God. And we just thank you, Father God, once again, for the day and time in which we live, oh, Father God, that we can participate, Father God, in something like this, Father God, of getting your word out into the earth. So we just give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Pam Marshall, and thank all of you guys for listening and tuning in and all of your comments as well. You guys have a great evening. And God bless you all.
God bless
you. Thank you and good night.
Amen.
Good night.
God bless you
guys.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it.